God's saying, you're not just going to, when you come to me, have a little bit of a trickle, like that small mountain stream that I found, something a little bit fresh. No, he says, you're going to be that gushing river. You're going to have from within you water flowing out for springing up to eternal life. What Jesus promises is just as the scripture said. Things like what Isaiah prophesied when he told the people, I will pour out water on thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up just as the scripture says.
This message is from Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, May 24th, 2026, John 7:37 to 39.
I set out with two others on a hike a few years ago, and it was a longer duration hike where we were going to go over 20 miles and climbing high elevation gains of thousands of feet. And the temperature was 95 degrees in the Arizona heat. So we set out with the plan that when we reached a certain point, we were going to be crossing a creek and finding a source of water. We had our plan that we knew when we got to that point, we could refresh ourselves and find some cool, fresh mountain water. Of course, we got to the creek bed on that hot day in a particularly dry season, and there was nothing. We knew if we only could go so far before it would be dangerous to keep pushing and try to continue the hike, we would have to turn around without our water supply. But I thought, you know, there's going to be water. We just got to go a little bit further. Nice, fresh, cool mountain water. And sure enough, when we made it a certain point, we saw the creek bed again, and we approached it. We couldn't hear any flowing water, but we did see, not at the rock edge, but in the bottom of the stream, a stagnant, murky, warm pool. We weren't content to move on with that, so we said, just a little bit further, there has to be some fresh water. And then, yes, finally, after we were just about ready to turn around, we had depleted our supplies, and it was becoming on the threshold of dangerous, we saw it. Nice, cool, not just stagnant, murky water, but flowing water. A little trickle it was, but enough that we knew it was something we could freshly, happily fill up ourselves with and make our way for the rest of the journey. Certainly, everybody craves fluids when they need them. When you sit down for a meal, your favorite beverage is probably what you want, or those who are athletes probably understand they need those electrolytes and the Gatorade is the perfect fill-up. But what about as the people of God, as we're journeying and sojourning in this world, what sustains us? What supplies us? Well, Jesus gives an invitation, and he tells us, he told his disciples, it's coming, it's just around the corner, nice, fresh, life-giving water. And he tells us we already have it. That's what we see as we consider and meditate on those words we read from John chapter 7. And as Jesus said, what the rest of the scriptures say. We have the Spirit who flows for all who thirst. As we look in this section in John chapter 7, Jesus is gathering after a few days of hesitation. He's gathering at the festival of tabernacles or booths. It was a festival in which the people were reminded that they lived in temporary shelters and God provided for all their needs. Even sending water out of the rock, giving them food, sustaining them on their journey. And the Festival of Tabernacles was one that they also would celebrate for those 8 days, the pouring out of water, to symbolize that they knew God, who gave them this fall harvest, it was in their fall season, would provide the winter rains and would sustain them through the winter season and carry them along. And it's on this festival, when the people have seen that water poured out day after day, and they've meditated on God's provision, that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, comes along, and he speaks up on the last and greatest day of the festival, a day in which the people are to have a day of convocation and sacred assembly, a day which they're to rest and meditate on God's works. And he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." The people were told, "Here is what you need." Now, having the source that Jesus offered sounds so simple, so straightforward, and yet Jesus knew his people so often had turned not to him to quench their thirst, but to other places. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of this. When the people of God who had witnessed his working, his pouring out of gifts and letting water flow in the wilderness, how they had turned from God to other sources to quench their thirst. Jeremiah said in chapter 2, "My people have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And he describes how they forsook the Lord, his invitation, which Isaiah centuries, 150 years or so earlier, had cried out, "Come to me and drink." And yet what did the people do? Time and time again, they tried to quench their own thirst, their own longings with other things outside of the Lord. Of course, that shouldn't surprise us when we examine our hearts and the human heart. Where do you go to find quenching for the things you long for, the things you think will give you just what you need? And we fall into the trap of looking for our thirst to be quenched, not just through God, but apart from God. And without God, we look for our thirst to be quenched as we turn to the various things in our life that we think we can attain. Maybe like the people in Jeremiah's time, digging our own cisterns. If only I have this, then I'll be happy. And the digging of our own cisterns, we see, can cause us not only to abandon the water of life, but to pull our own sources of joy and our own wells, which God said, he told the people, will not satisfy. For those of you who are able to join us in our Sunday study, Solomon found what that was like, trying to quench your thirst from the things in this world. And Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes how he chased after meaning, how he chased after purpose to quench his desires. Solomon chased after wisdom, but he found it was like smoke. It was emptiness, meaningless. Solomon chased after wisdom and the pursuit of knowledge, and he found no matter how much he took that in, it meant nothing really without God. And so Solomon tried to build grand achievements of buildings, and he tried to have this investment in all of his work and his labor and toiled, and he realized that too couldn't satisfy all of it. Whether it's your career, your knowledge, your family and friends, whatever, chasing after pleasures, as Solomon says, and delights of this world, it all ends up being empty and meaningless if that's how we seek to quench our thirst. But more than that, we're not only those who are going after the plan of our own to quench our thirst. No, we are following the plan of our enemy, the devil, who would have us abandon our God and die of thirst as he devours us. God warned the people further as he spoke in Jeremiah's time. Why go to Egypt to drink water from the Nile? Why go to Assyria to drink water from the Euphrates? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me. Maybe the temptation's there for a child of God to say, yes, I know God's poured his spirit in my heart, and I know that I have the guidance of his holy scripture, and I hear his invitation, but I really got to do this and commit sexual immorality, because then I'll really be happy. That's what God made me for. Or I really need to chase after this and attain this wealth, and then I'll really have what I need. And these things begin to pull our heart and our soul away from our God. And I have to admit, too, there are times when I know it's right there before me. God is saying, come, find what you need here. And I'm striving to find it somewhere else. That's why we need to hear what Jesus said on that festival. Notice what he said, too. It was, if anyone is thirsty. The thirst he's talking about far exceeds ordinary things. The thirst that he's talking about is what he spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount months earlier, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We might strive to attain pleasures, and with maybe turning aside from God's plan for marriage, say, I'll find it in my own devices, but God says, hunger and thirst for what is right and good, and you will be filled. We might try to attain for ourselves freedom as we say, I'm going to have financial freedom and I'm going to have all the delights of this world and I can purchase them. And Jesus tells you, hunger and thirst for what is right and generosity, contentment, and laboring faithfully in joy. And here, when like Solomon, we realize everything else is empty, we hear one voice saying, why labor? Why toil for what does not satisfy? And as Isaiah 55 reads, come without cost, drink and eat and be satisfied. And Jesus offers this as he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Well, how do we come to him? Maybe I'm speaking to the choir. You're here this morning, right? But coming to Jesus isn't merely entering the house where he places his name. Coming to him is receiving his word. And in faith, listening to the word of Christ, not just for a moment or for a time and part of your schedule, but listening and meditating, mulling over what he says, taking into your heart the words of Christ and letting that give you life. Coming to Jesus is hearing what he promises in the gospel. Coming to him is rejoicing in the truth of the gospel. He says, they will receive what the scripture says, springs of living water flowing from within them. And I like what the NIV did here is it upgraded the translation from 1984. It says rivers of water from within. God's saying, you're not just going to, when you come to me, have a little bit of a trickle like that small mountain stream that I found, something a little bit fresh. No, he says, you're going to be that gushing river. You're going to have from within you water flowing out for springing up to eternal life. What Jesus promises is just as the scripture said. Things like what Isaiah prophesied when he told the people, I will pour out water on thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up just as the scripture says. God says he will not only take his people from darkness and pardon their sin, but he will do far more than that. He will give them from within new life that flows out and a complete transformation of heart and soul as the Holy Spirit is poured into their hearts and it shows as they live a new life of faith. You see, the work of God is this. He sends his Spirit, and the Spirit opens our eyes to see what God has done. It says in John 7, Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we know that took place. The Son of Man was glorified, the Spirit shows us, when he went to the cross. The Spirit opened our eyes to see the glorification of Christ when he died for the sins of the world, redeeming his people. And the Son of Man was glorified when he fulfilled his word and showed himself alive again, declaring, peace be with you, your sins are forgiven. And the Son of Man was glorified as he sent out his disciples to the world. But Jesus told them, there was more that the Spirit would do than open their eyes and bring them to see him as the Savior, the Son of God. That was revealed from heaven, yes. But the Spirit was going to do even more than that as the Spirit came with gifts and the Spirit came to equip. And the Spirit came to carry the church through the trials and the centuries ahead. On that day in Pentecost, his word was fulfilled. Christ had been glorified, and just as the scripture said, through the prophets Joel, Isaiah, and many others, God poured out his Spirit. The disciples that day began to see what God intended, not only that they would have salvation and know Christ, but that they would be equipped to share that message. How about you? Just as the scripture says, anyone who comes to me has rivers of water flowing from within them, the work of the Holy Spirit. the gift the Spirit gives includes various things which he then enables us to do to serve God and to serve others in our life. Gifts of speaking the word of God, gifts of leading others, gifts of encouragement. There are many listings in Scripture of what the Spirit gives us for gifts. Gifts of an abundant faith, gifts of generosity, gifts of encouragement. And on top of those gifts, which each and every one are given as the Spirit determines, the Spirit says, now let's see the water flow, the water of life flow from you as the fruit of the Spirit is given. Peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit works a whole new life in God's people. And yes, at times it might appear as if the people of God who have been called to faith are able to say Jesus is Lord, and the gifts of the Spirit are like that small little stream just beginning. But as they come to Jesus, they know there's a promise. And as you come to Jesus, you know there's a promise. That small trickle that has begun as the Spirit works new life in you will continue to flow as the gospel spreads to others in your words and actions, as they see the glory of Christ and his people, and as you bring them the gift of the Spirit and they know the goodness of God. Let anyone, sinner, struggling in thirst, longing for things to be made right, falling flat as they dig their own cisterns, sinner, come and find the promise of our God, the invitation. Let anyone freely receive it, the waters of life, and with that, also new life given by the Spirit, because the Spirit flows for all who thirst. Amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join in confessing our Christian faith. We'll use the words of the Nicene Creed.